Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Above and beyond just last night's game, it was a ridiculous weekend of action around the NFL playoffs that I think called to mind, if you're a Steelers fan specifically, how in the heck are they going to compete with that? Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, Justin Herbert wasn't even in the playoffs, but I think those four are probably widely regarded as the four best young quarterbacks in the AFC, or just the four best quarterbacks in the AFC, and they also happen to be, all four of them, 26 or younger. Mahomes, the elder statesman of that bunch. We didn't even mention the Lamar Jacksons or Derek Carrs of the world, but the quarterback deck is really stacked against the Steelers.
We can compare quarterbacks, and we will in just a little bit, but the fact that when you match up the timelines, the Steelers' defense is not some. I mean, you have Highsmith and you have Watt and you have those guys, but it's also largely, I don't want to say aging out, but Cam Hayward and Minka Fitzpatrick's getting a little bit older, and you have Joe Hayden has aged out. You are in uncertain time in terms of matching that timeline with what you're doing defensively, which is going to be the unit that plays those quarterbacks. That it's not like the Steelers are like, all right, we've got all these young guys that are just learning to play defense. They're going to figure it all out, and bang, they're going to – I mean, Allen's 25. Mahomes is 26. Burrow's young. Ja'Marr Chase is 21 years old. Like, there's going to be a crescendo that's hit with this AFC, with all this offensive firepower. And forget, we'll get to it in a minute, scoring with them. What are the Steelers going to do to stop them, to keep them in games, to try to score with
them? You know, and my initial knee-jerk reaction is, well, I'm not all that worried about T.J. Watt and Minka Fitzpatrick. They're still at the peaks of their
careers.
How old
are they?
But that's the next part of this. That's the other shoe to drop, right? T.J. Watt will be going into his, his sixth NFL season this year. He's 27. Minka Fitzpatrick will be going into his fourth season, and he'll be, I believe, 26 maybe. I'd have to double-check that. Point being, by NFL standards, they're approaching, if not already at, the halfway points in their careers. And so the window, while it's not closing yet, it's not as wide open as it once was.
Seems different for their position than quarterback.
Yes, and you mentioned Cam Hayward. I mean, you can't continue to count on a guy as he gets older to continually have the best season of his career year after year as he gets older. Joe Hayden, 33, probably on his way out. You know, you're right. It's not just how do you score with these teams. It's how do you slow them down, assuming you can't score with these
because
teams.
Because it felt as if watching the Kansas City game last night, Kansas City and Buffalo, it felt like Kansas City had five guys on the football field who would have been the Steelers' fastest player.
Oh, yeah.
And I could be wrong, you know, but it felt like if you want to take Hill out a little bit, Hardman's going to hurt you. If you want to take Hardman out, one can fly. It was just all over the place, the speed in which that they had. And I watched that. It's like if you watch a Steelers-Browns game or even a Steelers-Ravens game, it's played at a different speed than that game was played last night. There was no question about that.
Hill, Hardman, you mentioned McKinnon. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's three guys right there. Just nobody on the Steelers roster has that bang, that burst, that 0-60.
Maybe Deontay Johnson on a good day, but that's it.
That's the only
guy that you can infuse with that bunch and say, okay, he kind of fits in.
And that's presuming he catches the ball
Correct.
In the first place.
And I watched that game, and it looked like you're watching – you know, in the old days when I was coming up, like quad A football against double A football
right.
or something like that in high school. It was just on a different plane, and I have no idea. And then to the quarterback conversation, those are four quarterbacks. If you take the two quarterbacks that played last night, you take a quarterback that played the day before in Burrow, and then you take the quarterback in San Diego, Los Angeles.
Field goal away.
Right.
Making the
playoffs. That make plays, and you go, all right, how is that guy going to get to Pittsburgh? And you say, well, it's got to be in the draft. You got to get in free agency. Here's where you can criticize the Pittsburgh Steelers. If you believe them that they had a first grade or first round grade on Mason Rudolph,
right?
They essentially had him graded right where those
guys
were.
They thought
he
would be right there with the up and coming first round quarterbacks.
So I can criticize the Steelers that was going to be their heir apparent.
Yeah, because there's zero evidence that he's anywhere close to their plane of existence. He isn't. And I don't know. The part of it for me that's tough is there's no easy way of figuring out how they get that quarterback. Like, let's say they go into this year and let's say Rudolph's the starter, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And let's say it's some hodgepodge of Rudolph and Haskins, or even if they bring in some veteran stopgap, all right?
Right.
They're still going to go 8-9, 9-8, right? I mean, at worst, 7-10, okay, they're still going to be drafting somewhere in the teens, probably. Maybe 12, maybe, if everything shakes out a certain way. They're not going to be bad enough to assure themselves the draft spot necessary to land that franchise quarterback if they believe it's in the 2023 draft.
Which is why I draft an offensive lineman. I rest on what I have, which are my strengths, which are my tight end, which is the running back right now, and I transform it back into a Bill Cowher team. I think it's easier for the Pittsburgh Steelers to do that and potentially have success than take a chance they're going to find a quarterback along the Mount Rushmore like these guys have already said.
I don't necessarily disagree with that, but I guess the question for me now has become, can a Bill Cowher type team, better way to describe it, can a Bill Cowher type team win a Super Bowl? Like, I truly feel like this weekend and last night in particular.
Can San Francisco win this Super Bowl?
I don't think so.
They scored 13 points.
I don't think so. I don't. They're very good.
Because that would be of the teams left, right?
Right. They can be good. And, yeah, they're in an NFC championship. So, I guess anything can happen, right? Anything can happen on any given Sunday. But, look, I just don't think it's likely, especially on the AFC side of things, that if you don't have a very good quarterback that you can compete with, as you put it, that Mount Rushmore of young quarterbacks in the AFC. I don't see how you compete with that. Even if you've got your defense refortified and you've got TJ Watt. And look, what you would need to happen in order to compete with Mahomes and the Chiefs, mm-hmm. Herbert and the Chargers, Allen and the Bills, Burrow and the Bengals. You know what you would need to have happen if you're the Steelers? What we saw in that first quarter last weekend, where everything went their way and nothing went the Chiefs' way, and they were still scoreless, right? You need everything to break your way in that instance. So I don't necessarily disagree with the thought of, hey, and I said this, you know, a year and a half ago, let's build around our running back. Let's build around our running game. Let's build around revamping the offensive line. And we know we've got some superstar talent on the defensive side of the ball and hope that whoever the quarterback is, it's enough to just get us to the playoffs. And then who knows what the hell will happen from there. But I just, again, we talk so much about how the standards have changed, and
right,
it's always about gunning for a Super Bowl. If you do that, if you say, hey, we're going to be built around running game and O-line and defense, and quarterback will figure out when we have a chance to figure it out, you're also kind of resigning yourself, I think, to, hey, let's just be happy to get in the playoffs and then cross our fingers and knock on wood that things go well
from there. Or this, promise you won't complain if they suck really bad.
I'm fine with
right,
that.
No, not you, but people out there.
Yeah.
Because I tweeted this over the weekend. Andrew Filippone has lost his mind some. And you guys already know that, and we love him. But he lost his mind. He goes, you watch what Jamar Chase does. And he tweeted this Saturday afternoon. He goes, you watch what Jamar Chase does. The Steelers don't have one guy that does that. Well, he was drafted 5th overall.
Right.
The Steelers have not drafted better than 7th since 1970. That's 52 years. So, if you want to get Jamar Chase and Joe Burrow, or maybe even just one of them, you need to watch a season where the Steelers go 6-11.
Or worse.
And shut up.
Yeah.
And just be okay with it. Because that is the easiest path to that, unless you're the Rams and you trade it forever and you make a bunch of trades.
Here's the thing. I don't think we need to make this admonition, this demand of the fans. I think most Steeler fans would be like, hey, if we got to have a bad year or two in order to...
I think a lot of people are unwilling to take their slice of humble pie to get what comes on the other side. I honestly do.
Maybe. I think it's the organization.
Because we're about championships in Pittsburgh.
But I think
we're about trying to find rings and this and that. But the Bengals sucked for a long time to get to where they are now.
I think it's the organization that has to get past that line of thinking. There's nobody down at 3400 South Water Street who's willing to take a step back for a year or two in order to rebuild properly. They're just not. They want to constantly be in the conversation. And I get it. Part of what we appreciate about the Steelers is that they're always in the conversation, right? But I don't want the conversation to be, maybe they'll get to the playoffs and then get blown out in the wild card game. I want the conversation to be, no, they are right there with the Chiefs, with the Bills, with the Chargers, with the Bengals. They are right there because they've got that talent also. And unless they do take that step back for a year or two, they're not going to get that talent.
See, the Steelers have Debo and Kittle, okay? Or Steelers.
The Niners
have Debo and Kittle. Could that put, and I'm not saying that that's Harris and Freiermuth, but you look at the style of which they play, right. And I know that's an NFC team, but could the Steelers try to build for something like that, find a quarterback that just makes a couple throws here and there, and maybe Jimmy G's better than that, but he finds a way to win games at the end and build a defensive line and try to win games that way?
I think, again, I think you can, and I've been a proponent of that idea
more or less.
And keep
Joe Burrow off the field.
I think you can build towards that, and that can be a goal, but you also have to build towards that goal knowing that the every year expectation is not, like, if you're the Chiefs right now, if you're the Bills, your every year expectation, as long as Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen are your quarterbacks, is, well, conference championship or bust. I mean, if we do anything less than that, it was a disappointment. If you're the Steelers and you're building toward that, or if you're the Niners in the case of what they already have, a conference championship is gravy for them, right? It's get to the playoffs and then we'll see what happens. Same thing goes if you're talking about a Steelers team that in the future moving forward is Harris and Freiermuth and, I don't know, whoever.
And an offensive lineman they draft this year.
Right. That's a team that very well may be able to win 10 games, but I don't know how much they do when they go up against the big guns in Buffalo, in Kansas City.
I'm just resigned to the fact that the generational quarterback that we saw already came and went through Pittsburgh. There's probably not going to be another one.
That's the problem.
And they're not going to find a way to get him. So the best way to counter these teams is keep their quarterback off the field because you ain't going to score with them.
That's the problem. And we're spoiled. We just had 18 years of Ben Roethlisberger. And even in the last few years when he was a shell of himself, right? We're just not equipped to be able to handle a team that doesn't have a franchise quarterback, especially if you're of a certain age and all you know of the Pittsburgh Steelers is Ben Roethlisberger at quarterback.
San Francisco beat Burrow this year in overtime.
Mm-hmm.
They found a way. It was 23-20 or whatever it was. They found a way. And I maybe going full bore into that ugliness when everybody's glitz and glamour and what was last night, 42-36, whatever.
Right.
Stay away from that game. Don't even put your toe in the water of that game. And that's why I say just let Mason Rudolph play this year. Who cares? Who cares? Beef up your lines. Go and try to build from the inside out. Figure out a quarterback at the end.
So I just saw, and by the way, call us, text us, Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line. Everybody's got thoughts on overtime this morning in the NFL. 412-928-9370, Edgar Snyder & Associates, reminding you to text responsibly. I just saw like the show preview video for Cook and Joe. Cook and Joe and Pomp today. And it's just Ron. I don't know if Starkey's not here yet, maybe, or wandering the building somewhere, walking off a tough loss to the Bills. But it ends with Ron. So you know how they have the fat heads of us, right? Or not fat heads,
yes.
But the big faces, right? It ends with Ron grabbing the Starkey one and hugging it and suggesting that everyone be there for Joe today because it might be a particularly
difficult day. I don't feel bad for Buffalo fans.
No?
At all.
Really?
No. No. Tell your team to stop them.
Oh, no. Here's the difference. I don't feel bad for, like, Sean McDermott or Leslie Frazier or anybody on the defensive side of the ball. I don't feel bad for them. If you're a Bills fan, I mean, that loss last night would have ripped your heart out if you had any heart left. But you've just been crushed so often over and over and over again over the years that I don't know how you possibly have any feelings left. Cook and Joe coming up.
Well, what you're telling me is that you're used to being.
Yeah, you're numb. You don't feel feelings anymore, good or bad. You're if you're a Bills fan, And I, you know, I watched Starkey's Twitter feed last night.
I was watching a like real life meltdown.
It was. And what got me though is he screenshotted his text exchange with Doran, right?
Yes.
And Doran feels the pain. He played for the Bills. And right after the Gabriel Davis touchdown with 13 seconds left, right?
Mm-hmm.
I got to find it now. Joe texts Doran, right? And simply says, all excited. Are we going to do a show in Buffalo or what?
Wow.
He's excited about it, right? Him and Doran. He wants to go to Buffalo and do a show with Doran. To which Doran responds, I'm still scared. Starkey says, really? Doran says, you see that? One pass and kick. Starkey, oh boy. Doran, dying here. Told ya.
Jeez.
To which Joe says, this is insane. How is Kelsey so open? OMG. He just broke down right there.
If there's one people that are used to heartache, I mean, it's the Buffalonian.
Yeah,
is that what they're called? Buffalonian?
Buffaloans?
By the way, this? How about this Mahomes' fiance?
Spraying champagne all over everybody down in the stands?
I can promise you this. If I'm sitting in those stands and she sprays that big thing of champagne all out the window,
yeah,
it is finding its way into my eye, and I'm calling the Shenderovich brothers immediately.
Why?
Because of how much money he has.
Why is everybody around Patrick Mahomes? His family, his
knuckleheads?
Yeah.
And he seems so easy to get along with,
yes,
and such a good dude. His brother's wacky. This chick's out of her mind. So why is his circle so fractured and weird?
I don't know. I don't know. They feel wholly entitled to do whatever they want because Patrick Mahomes is their sibling or fiance or whatever.
Is she old enough? Is she 21?
Yeah.
Somebody was saying she wasn't.
Oh, really? I thought they were like sweethearts. Texas Tech together or something.
But yeah, she's not just spraying it out the front of the private box. She's like shaking the rest out.
Yeah. It's just.
And then he's got his brother. There was somebody sitting down by the field that tweeted, it was the last game.
Uh-huh.
It would have been the regular season. Or no, it was
Steeler game.
That tweeted, and they were taking a video of him. It took him, like, all these takes in, like, this, what's his name, Jackson Mahomes,
yeah,
or whatever his name is, like 25 minutes to film a TikTok that ended up being 30 seconds. He kept having to redo it.
Bro.
And they were just like, what is this guy doing?
Find something better with your time.
Right.
I'm an influencer.
He probably makes money doing it, though.
That's
sure.
So, joke's on us.
Yeah, yeah.
But
no,
Patrick
Mahomes
is like celebrated by the NFL, and then you got this, his
clowns.
His lady is out of her mind.
Yeah.
Out of her mind. And that's Kansas City. It's not L.A. or New York or Dallas. It's kind of a reserved Midwestern play. I know the stadium's wild.
Yeah.
But it's still Missouri.
Speaking of clown.
Or Kansas if you live in Overland Park.
Clown nonsense. I'm buried in this picks competition.
Oh, yeah?
I went 1-3 this weekend.
You choked, I'll be honest with you. You totally choked.
I totally pulled I don't know. It was awful. 1-3 this weekend.
Okay, so you're done.
You went 1-3 as well, Colin.
That's okay. I built up big enough lead.
Last place, yes. Yeah, Jim went 2-2. Matt, 3-1. That is the comeback story of the year, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Matt Cole going from last place in week 10 to here we are 10 weeks later, a two-game lead in first place. 53-43-1. Colin's two games back, 51-45-1. Jim is 47-49-1. I'm 44-52-1. I have absolutely tanked. And now I've got to pick opposite of Jim for the final three games to even have a chance to get out of the basement.
And hope and pray.
Yep. That's basically it. So I'm screwed. Looks like I'm taking Starkey golfing. And if Starkey can't golf in the spring, then I'll just take the four of us out.
Of all people, Tom Brady screwed me this weekend. I had too much confidence in him.
Yeah.
There's a joke in there that I almost went with, but then I
let it go.
Pulled back from it that I'll tell you off the air.
Yes.
Yes.
All right.
All right.
Overtime suggestions, holidays, snow shovels and snow blowers and all kinds of assorted nonsense next year on the Fan Morning Show. Did we come to the conclusion of whether we think that was the best game ever or not last night?
Yeah.
I think I'm there. Like, I thought about some of the other greatest games of all time, right? Like, everybody mentioned Super Bowl 43, especially around here. There's, I can't remember which number Super Bowl it was, the Tyree helmet catch game.
Oh, Giants-Pats.
Yeah. I had a list pulled up.
I mean, there's Ice Bowl. Like, there's all that kind of. There's old school games, too. I mean, you can go back to, you know, Kansas City and Miami in 71 that they were just – I heard them talking about that on the air on a different show today, like one of the national shows, the Gary Apremian field goal.
The Chargers-Dolphins game I mentioned in the divisional round that went to multiple
overtimes. Colts and
overtimes.
Giants in 58.
First overtime game. Yeah.
Right. I mean, there's so much of that. There's 49ers-Bengals in 89.
Right.
You know.
The Joe Montana, the John
Cool,
Candy game.
Right.
Yeah. You know what, though? I think, and this is the number that gets me, 31 points in the last 6 minutes and 15 seconds. I've gone back and looked at all of these other games that people suggest may be the best ever. Somebody even texted in and said Super Bowl 13 because, you know, the Steelers were up by 18, I think, at one point.
Right.
And nearly blew it to the Cowboys. And it was their third Super Bowl and all that. The 31 points in 6 minutes and 15 seconds is what does it for me.
More exciting than the Patriots fighting all the way back. Yes.
And the 13 seconds. I think that's what's going to forever go down. Like, if you wanted to make, in whatever Kansas City's equivalent to the Strip District is today, if they have an equivalent to Yinzers or someplace like that.
Just 13 seconds.
A clock on the front of a T-shirt that says 13 seconds. And that's your T-shirt. Like, that's what it's going to go down. Like, all the things that are remembered by numbers, like 28-3, all that kind of stuff, this will go down as the 13-second game, I think.
Oh, I agree.
And I think for me it is. It's the best game I've ever, the best back and forth I've ever seen at the end of a game.
What you have to do is back away from it and then, like, revisit that in a year and say it's recency bias because this just happened 12 hours ago.
Right.
What I mean? So that's and I think it'll still hold because of that. Can you, though, and this isn't my argument, but I can already tell you it will be some people's argument if it's not already this morning on different shows, especially those national rundown shows will try this really hard. Can you call it the best game whenever the defense was so bad? Like, that's what it'll be.
And that's what people will point
to,
yeah.
But then, my flip is this. If you're calling, like, a 17-16 game, can you call it when the offense wasn't all that great? You know, like, what is then the ideal game? A 23-20 game or something like that? Like, do you have to have a perfect yo-yo, ebb and flow?
I think as long as you have the back and forth, it doesn't matter whether it involves all scores or no scores or somewhere in between. As long as you have that back and forth push and pull nature of, oh my God, that team just did that, they're going to win. And then literally 2 minutes later, you're, oh my God, they did that, they're going to win. And the back and forth of that, and we went back and forth, 6 times in the last half hour of that game? We're like, oh my God, that team, no, this team. That's what does it for me.
This goes to show, which has been my long-held notion, that baseball is the only sport that I like a defensive first game. I'll take a 1-0 pitcher's duel over a 13-12 game any day. Hockey, give me a 7-6 game. Basketball, 124-122. Football, give me up and down Big 12 style football any day of the week over 7-6. Baseball's the only one that I don't necessarily prefer it, but it's okay. It's actually, I might prefer it. A 1-0
well-pitched, well-defensed
game. All the other sports, I much would – if you gave me a choice when I walked in the gate and said, do you want an offensive first game?
You just talk about playoff games or regular season games?
Talk about any game that I walk in the gate. Any game that I walk in the gate. Do you want a defensive first game or an offensive first game? Now, that being said, the best game I've ever seen with my eyes in my life, the wild card game was the most exciting. Okay?
2013.
Yes, the wild card game was the most exciting in terms of an atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
But the best game I've ever seen played was Steelers and Ravens in terms of the competitive level of it.
Yes.
And that was defensive tinged, I mean, of course.
Right.
But I would take an offensive game in all the sports except baseball.
I would in all of them except hockey, actually, because there's no I don't think, anyway, for my money, there's no greater drama than being two overtimes deep and it's nothing or 1-1 and nobody's scored since like 10 minutes left in the first period. It's like, oh my God, is anyone ever going to score a goal again in this thing? But yeah, you know, I think ultimately, again.
Well, that happens now, though. Is anybody ever going to score a goal? Because the goalie pads are so, like, you know. gigantic. They just have to stand there.
Yeah.
For the most part.
But there's nothing like an overtime game where it feels like nobody's ever going to score again, right?
No, I agree with you. And guys are falling down, and they're ordering pizzas.
Exactly.
And they're sweating. They're getting IVs and all that. No, that is really great.
Yeah.
I agree. But I think that will be the counter-argument was, can a game be considered one of the greatest of all time
if there was
no defense?
Yeah.
And I say, yeah.
I think so. I'm right now, for the time being, it's the greatest game I've ever seen anyway. All right, if you missed anything this morning, that's what the Rewind feature on your Odyssey app is for. We debated a lot of overtime stuff. We talked about what a wild weekend it was for the NFL, including last night's Chiefs-Bills game, and brought it all back to how the heck do the Steelers compete with that, with those quarterbacks? And who wants to be a defensive coordinator if you don't get to call the plays on Sunday? All of it in the last 4 hours, anything in the last 24 hours you can rewind to on your Odyssey app. All your sports, all your music, all your news, and all of it podcasted as well inside your Odyssey app. Tomorrow, Jeff Hathorn for his usual Tuesday visit at 7 o'clock. Brad Spielberger at 8 o'clock from Pro Football Focus. I'm sure he'll have a lot to say about this past weekend and last night specifically in an early peek ahead of the conference championship games. And Shelby Cassesi at 8:45 tomorrow with another edition of This Hits Different. That's all tomorrow, but we got to wrap up today's show first with the epic ending. And it's presented to you by New Flow Men's Health and Pittsburgh Pain Management.
I learned here with Patrick Mahomes' fiance spraying champagne all out the front of the private box is that it really is a fascinating study in that Patrick Mahomes seems so likable, but he just may be related to the two most annoying people on the planet. And that's, well, kind of related semi to this point to his fiance, but definitely related to his brother, that Jackson guy that does all those TikToks.
Mm-hmm.
To find just how, just the divide and expanse between seemingly his personality and theirs is a real study in, I can't believe it, because I can't believe it.
I can't either.
How divergent it is.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
How do people like that end up that closely aligned with
people
like
Patrick
Mahomes?
Right. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is. It's wild. Matt?
I learned an Andy Reid stat. He's been to the playoffs 17 times and has made it to the conference championship 9 times.
Wow. More than 50% of the time.
Yeah. And now he's taken 2 different teams to the conference championship 4 seasons in a row. Did it with the Eagles.
Forgot how good those Eagles teams were.
Yeah. 2 different conferences, too.
Yeah.
I mean, this is...
Whew. Does he go down as the second best coach of all time behind Belichick, considering what he's done? Does he get to that point if he gets another ring?
He's got to win some Super Bowls.
He's got to get another one, I think.
Yeah.
Hang on, though, with Mahomes? I mean, he's getting older, but Mahomes is going to be there forever.
As long as you can.
Yeah.
As long as you can keep the band together. What did I learn today? I learned I missed Jim more than I thought I would on his first official day of semi-retirement. I looked over at his chair just after 8 o'clock, and it's empty. There's no one there, and nobody spilling Diet Pop on their laptop. Nobody forgetting their headphones 30 seconds before we come back on the air and having to run out of the room to go get them. Just a little less chaos this morning, and it made it noticeable that Jim was not here. So I learned I missed him a little more than even I thought I would. Predictions now.
Can I predict, and this is like a long shot, can I predict a press release from Ryan Tolner and Ben, and then Ben is going to say, I'm retiring, and then I'll make an announcement, an official announcement in the next couple days, and I've thought about it, and I don't really need to think on it anymore, and thank you, football.
You think already?
What's the delay?
Oh, I don't know.
Like,
I mean,
you know?
It would seem the decision's already
been made.
It's
a long shot, but that's my prediction
for
today.
If you watched those guys last night,
and
was
goes,
like,
oh, my gosh,
I'm not that anymore.
Right.
I can't hang with those young bucks anymore.
I just don't know what the delay would be. So that's my long shot prediction that the press release comes from his agency and says, Ben is going to retire. We'll have an official we'll have a Ben High Mass coming up later on in the week.
Friday at 8 a.m.
Yeah.
Obfuscate.
When's Jim Colony doing that farewell show? About 7 to 10 on Friday. Jim, okay. 9:30.
Jim, we know we were supposed to have a big celebration. Can you go cover the Ben retirement press conference for us, please? Matt, you got a prediction?
I predict that Joe Starkey, he's got a weird relationship with the Buffalo Bills, like this weird love-hate. So I think he's going to absolutely eviscerate them during the show today. He's going to go all in. He's going to say they should have squib kicked and just going to go on a rant at some point about how the Bills blew that game.
I think he's just going to be broken. I don't know if he's going to be able to process it, to be quite honest. My prediction will be I think we get the sources close to Aaron Rodgers already letting the cat out of the bag that he definitely wants out of Green Bay this offseason, even though he seemed like he wasn't quite ready to process that himself on Saturday night. I think we start to get that already today at some point. Sources close to Aaron Rodgers, anyway.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.